Hello, welcome to The Big Show. Yes, sorry that we've kind of had a bit of an erratic schedule of late, but we've had to move shows at the last minute because of work commitments for me, and then people have gone, oh, I'm sorry, I could have done that one, but I can't do this one, so it's just been the usual kind of diary coordination issues. Mr. Muller has done his very, very best to get it right. It's not his fault. It's just a case of, you know, stuff happens. And then Thanksgiving and, you know, there we go. Black Friday. Cyber Monday, which I've got tons of emails for that. Oh, Bennett. Joining me to discuss the last week or so in tech, awesome, fantastic panel. Starting us off top left, Chris, how the devil are you, mate?
I'm good, mate.
Great, my friend. Oh.
Which one are we on,
Ewan? Well, Chris, sorry, yeah, because Chris is bottom left.
Okay, I'm bottom left.
All you right. Two are not allowed on the same show again after this.
We're just having a big Chris and little Chris.
Little Chris, yeah.
Yeah, you can use...
Well, no, because big Chris isn't big anymore. That's the trouble.
Hey, still strong.
Yeah.
So now it's little Chris, another little Chris?
little Chris, another little Chris. Yeah, there we go. Mr. Campion, there we go.
I'm all right, man.
Good, man. How's the day been?
Yeah, it's work's going absolutely crackers at the minute. So the last couple of weeks have been crazy busy, and I'm looking forward to Christmas now and having a little bit of downtime.
Running headlong into a brick wall.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. But I got a year older last week as well, so I missed last week's show because I were out celebrating with family.
Was it a big birthday?
Sorry for that. No, it was 41. It wasn't a big one, but
oh no, mate, that's the one where everything starts to fall apart.
Yeah, everything. Well, to be honest, enough's broken on me this year. So hopefully, I can have a year off. Everything breaking on me now.
I got glasses at 41. First set of glasses, 41.
Aye. So yeah, I'm over the 40 scale now, and yeah, fingers crossed. It'll be a good year.
And the ankle.
The ankle, yeah, I've been to the physio today. She's given me official permission to start training again now. Although I did go out for a little trot last week just to test it.
Who listens to health professionals?
Exactly. I took it easy, but yeah, it was nice to get the official permission. So tomorrow, up bright and early and out for a run before work.
Excellent, mate. Next to him is Jeffrey of Gamut. How the devil are you, man?
I'm doing really well. And I'm happy to see all of you. It's great to hang out with you guys.
We haven't seen you in ages.
Since what, last week?
Yeah, a whole week.
Yeah, that's ages. I will grant you that. It's been ages.
No, we didn't do a show last week. We did Mac show last week. We did Mac. So you did Mac now. So I forgot you're on Mac, aren't you, all the time? So.
Oh, I see how it is. Just forget that I'm around.
No, it's just, my head automatically connotates you with big and Adam with Mac. And then now Adam's not doing Mac. You're doing Mac. So it's just.
Yeah, I know. It's like.
And we haven't done enough shows to adjust.
Down,
yeah, but we've only done two shows to adjust, be fair.
Yeah. If I'm not giving you a hard time.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
I'm dead. And next to him, Chris Ashley. The skinny bloke from Washington.
What's up, my peoples? How y'all doing?
I'm catching up to you, brother.
Hey, come on, come get it.
I've done 60 pounds.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
That is amazing. I like to think that I inspired that.
You did. You really did. You were a massive part of that. Absolutely.
Anytime I hear somebody say, listen, I saw your big tail and now your tail ain't so big, and that made me want to get busy, that just adds more motivation, because now, like, the days I don't feel like going to hit the gym or doing something, I'm like, man, all these cats, you know, are looking at me, and like, if I don't do it, then that's gonna mess them up. So I love it.
Don't get me wrong, I'm still fat, but I'm 60 pounds lighter than I was.
That's awesome, dude. How you feel? That's what everybody asks me, so I guess I have to ask you, how you feel?
Yeah, good. All right, mate. It's not been bad. I've got skinnier clothes. I'm back in a 44 jean now. I was up to a 50-inch jean at one point, so
Ooh.
I'm back 6 inches on the waist. And my legs fit in them as well. Still got a bit of a beer belly, but I had any beer, so
right,
getting there.
Yeah, man.
That's the last bit to go, though, isn't it? The absolute belly is totally the last bit to go when you lose this amount of weight.
Yeah, No, Bryony insisted on, we've been going down the driving range, and Bryony's got a fairly good golf swing now, and she insisted on taking some video of me swinging the club. So I'd topped it for most of the evening up to that point, and I absolutely laced one when she got the video on me. And I'd looked at myself and stooped over ready to hit the club. I'm like, God, I'm fat. And then I turned around and started walking towards her, and I'm like, actually, I'm really thin. And that view, it's the side-on view that suffers, isn't it?
I have not hit a golf ball yet, and that's something I'm very interested in, because, you know, when you're chubby, you definitely have to account for that belly.
Oh, mate, know, yeah.
Get that club around. So I have not, and I was going to golf this summer, which would have been the first test, but I tore my bicep, so that was out of the question. But yeah, man, still haven't missed a day, still grinding. Just good, recently
keep switched going, up brother.
My keep workout going. Plan, so very happy.
I'm right with you, pal. I'm going to catch up.
Let's do it.
I'm losing 120 pounds in total. So,
okay,
that's fantastic.
No, I haven't done it yet. I'm going.
I'm giving you a preemptive. That's fantastic.
When I'm done, which will be probably about March, it'll be 120. So April.
Yes, that's really awesome.
The diets are mad, though. I've got this ketogenic diet, and it's like, I saw my nutritionist last week, and I said, he's brilliant. A guy called Callum Walker is the nutritionist at Warwickshire, a cricket club. And he's said, how are you feeling? I'm like, oh, God, I'm really lethargic. He said, tell me what you've been having for the last 3 days. And I told him, oh, God, you've got way too much protein there. He said, you need more fat, 70% fat, 20% protein, 10% carbs. And I'm like, okay. So the following day, I had 2 pork bellies, fried in butter. Then I fried all the vegetables I had in the butter as well. And then I put cream in the butter and stirred it up and boiled it to make a sauce. And I poured that over the top of it and I ate it. And it was like, it was nectar. It tasted incredible.
Wow.
It was 70% fat. And I lost more last week than I've lost in the whole diet up to that point.
Yeah, that fat, you know, people don't realize that it sits on you. So it makes you less hungry. You eat less. And there you go. So, there's merit behind it. Eating more fat.
He was saying you can't absorb it without, I'm paraphrasing what he told me. So, if I've got this wrong, don't say that Callum said this. But it was like, because you haven't got the carbs, you can't absorb the fat. The fat just goes through. That's it. And it's like, wow.
So Ewan, obviously starting from very different positions, me and you have lost exactly the same amount of mass. So you've lost the same that I lost. It took me 2 years. No, it didn't. It took me 14 months to lose 4 stone.
It's taken me 6 weeks and I didn't get out of the armchair.
Yeah.
Sorry, pal.
Bugger.
But you've drunk beer and you've eaten whatever the hell you liked.
I've not changed my diet.
See, there you go.
I say I haven't changed my diet. Yeah, I've cut out sugar. I've cut out bad snacks, bad fizzy drinks and stuff like that. Yeah. But yeah, I've eaten plenty because of the amount that I've burned in running.
Yeah, no. It's having said that, I've been going to rugby training the last couple of weeks, and last night I ran around quite a bit actually. And I haven't run around anywhere for a very long time, so there we go. I'll take it. The week in tech, all the shiz that's gone on, all the big stuff that's been happening. Just over 4 stone, says Bob Beach. Correct. What's been going off, fellas? Who wants the story? Who's going to kick us off? Camps is in there first. Right. Apple. Oh, it's an Apple. No, it's not an Apple story.
It's not quite an Apple. So there's a bit of an Apple. Yeah, it's an Apple. It's an Apple mix story.
Well, it's not. It's an Amazon story, isn't it?
Yes, it's an Amazon story.
Talk us through it, mate.
So Apple Music is coming to your Echo device. So from the 17th of December, the only thing I've not been able to absolutely confirm is this worldwide or is it US only? So I don't know if
US Jeff only.
US only at the minute.
Oh, Jeff, yeah. you party pooper, man.
I'm sorry, man. Someone had to tell you, so it might as well be someone that likes you.
But I'm sure it'll follow not too far after.
I would assume but so. Assuming it's just Apple Music licensing stuff.
Say again, Jeff, I'll talk to you. Sorry.
Oh, sorry about that. I'm assuming it's coming to other countries soon. The reason it's US only at launch is because of archaic and stupid licensing restrictions.
Mm-hmm. So, from the 17th of December starting in the US then, and hopefully other countries soon to follow, Apple Music will be available via one of these skills on your A-Lady device to be able to stream your Apple Music straight out of your Echo speakers. So, I saw this on a couple of articles yesterday, and I thought, one, great, about time. I'm pleased as an Apple Music subscriber to see this. And then obviously reading various articles on this, it makes absolute sense that it does to me. The numbers I saw, I think Spotify are running around about 87 million subscribers. Apple Music around about 57 million subscribers, which is around about the same number of Echo devices that are out there in the big wide world. And Amazon, I think, to keep up with the other markets, obviously the only Apple Music compatible speaker that's out there at the minute is the HomePod. So, and I think you can do it through some of the Sonos speakers, via the app. But to be able to play it straight out of the Echo device, I think Apple totally done the right thing. They're going to be making sure that they're not going to be losing subscribers going forward to Spotify as this marketplace jumps up. And there's so many more devices going to be hitting, obviously, the Christmas and the holiday markets. I think this is absolute perfect timing for Apple to do this.
So Bob Beach has just shoved in the chat room. I thought I read that it was UK too. UK as well, if you know what I mean.
While we're talking, I'll see if I can find anything else that adds support. So this is that.
But it makes
I got my US only info from reading Amazon's announcement.
I wouldn't be surprised that it definitely is now. But the thing is, if you look at the digital market, no one sells a 7-inch record anymore, vinyl, or no one's getting a CD credit for it. All of the charts are all downloads or all plays, aren't they, on open music services. So there's no way on God's green earth that the artists are stopping this from happening, because plays are plays. Plays are income, plays are charts. Charts and more plays, and plays and more income. So if this is not happening, this is an argy-bargy between Amazon and Apple over who's getting what money from what play. That's all, surely.
Well,
and if that gets sorted out worldwide, it gets sorted out worldwide. It could be the record
labels that are causing the problem and then pissing off the artists in the process.
The article does lay out that they think it's a bit of quid pro quo in there, where Apple wants to sell iPhones on Amazon's marketplace, and they're allowing that. Amazon wanted to get Prime Video on the Apple TV. That happened. So it could be some more swapping going on. But to me, the biggest part of this is just the fact that this is actually happening, right? Because for years, you had to be team this, team that, and that was it. And, you know, and that's one of the reasons why, really hated a lot of the Apple stuff, because it was just so damn siloed. And the fact that they're opening this up, and, you know, for their own good, because obviously they're trying to compete with Spotify, which is everywhere, which is why I switched to Spotify from Amazon Music, just because it's in so many different places. So this makes sense for them from that standpoint to compete. But the fact that they're willing to do that, as opposed to just stick to their guns and like, nope, stays here. Cause there was rumors that there was going to Android as well.
Yeah. So I think this has got to really help, Amazon's, Echo sales as well. As you approach holiday season, you know, everyone who's got, they've got iPhones and they're subscribing to Apple Music, and maybe they don't want to stretch to a HomePod. Seeing that this is coming has just got to be great news. And when you're seeing that the Echo, is it the third version of the Echo releases in the UK, I think just after Christmas. Availability is just after Christmas, certainly on Amazon at the minute anyway. It's got to be a way of selling more of these devices as well. I'll certainly be getting one of these now for my daughter's room, so she can play Apple Music in a bedroom through the device.
Well, so I think, because if there's nothing more than money from music plays in this for Apple, there's virtually nothing in it for Apple. In fact, there's only negatives, isn't there? Because You know, you can imagine that they've got, you know, Tim picks up the phone and says, give Bill in analytics a call and tell him to come in and see me. And he sits him down and he says, right, Bill, for the next month, all I want you to do is work out whether we're going to get more money from doing plays on an Amazon Echo or whether we're going to get more from HomePod sales and iPhone sales and Mac sales. Because what this has done straight away is it's nullified the HomePod sale market, because that means that anyone who's invested in Sonos now isn't considering worrying about going with an iPhone device, because now they can do it all through their Echo if they've got one. And anyone who's got an iPhone is now no longer tied into the Apple ecosphere, because all they've got to do is maintain their .Mac address and it's automatically tied to their A-Lady. So I don't actually need to, I can have an Android phone now if I really want and still do all Apple Music and stuff. I'm out of the ecosphere effectively. That's the negative, surely.
I don't think that's actually a negative. Because I think Apple is looking at the really long term. Apple's good at playing long games. And I think that they're very focused on where they see their market going, which is going to become more and more services. So by doing this now, they are creating an easier way to tie people into the platform. And it doesn't matter what the hardware is. And I think ultimately Apple doesn't care, because they know at some point the iPhone isn't going to be their bread and butter anymore. And the other services that they're offering are going to be bringing in a much higher percentage of company revenue.
Bill did his job.
So, yeah. So get Apple services everywhere.
And honestly, it's no different than what the trend we're seeing everywhere else, right? It's subscriptions is what's paying the bills.
Yeah.
That, that long-term money. So forget the hardware and devices. We can get you into our ecosystem, get in, pay the subscription. And yeah, we're you know, following the trend.
Is there an element as well as Apple Music's obviously the biggest streaming service in the US. Let's just, we want to take Spotify's crown. And to do that, we have got to go across more devices.
Yeah, they have. They're never going to do it. We just...
They need to smash smart TVs next, don't they? Because the Spotify app on all the smart TVs. And whether they do it through the TVs or whether they do it through the boxes. But absolutely, you hit the speaker market and get the subscription tie-in with as part of the speaker. Absolutely there. You know, it will stop people looking at Spotify.
You have a TV that supports A-Lady already,
yeah,
that means that in the United States, come the 17th, you have Apple Music on your television.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, great point, yeah.
Did you say that Apple Music was bigger than Spotify currently?
I think it is in the US, isn't it?
For paid subscribers,
yeah.
If you look at overall subscribers, Spotify is markedly larger. But when you look at paid subscribers, Apple, are they? Actually, I'm not sure. They might be matching Spotify right now. I'm not sure if they're ahead of Spotify.
I can't remember which answer. It was one of the articles I've got here that I read that on, but in the US, the bigger, but the rest of the world, Spotify have got the market.
Sorry, Chris, you were about to say?
The article says that Apple Music has about 56 million paying users to Spotify's 87 million, but in this statement, it doesn't break out US versus worldwide or whatever.
I think I've seen that in one of the other articles, Chris.
I was just wondering if that's kind of amazing that to have that big a lead overall, but be failing in, you know, the US like that. So I don't know, that'd be interesting. Take a look.
Let's go too down about the word failing, because it's not exactly failing, is it? A slightly less share.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Depends on, you know, when you're getting fired up, you use the worst term possible, and then with a get them. Yeah. Failing. Go get them.
A failing term still equates to X billion dollars a year.
failing lovely.
No longer peanuts.
Yeah, I think timing's great for Amazon on this as well. I think they really need to push this to make sure that they hit that holiday market in terms of selling the extra Echo devices.
Bob's straight in there. It'll be nice to be able to play Apple Music through my Sonos system via Alexa. Totally, I've taken my Sonos stuff and I've paired them all up here. I've got my Sonos 5 as basically my subwoofer smack in the middle, and then I've got two play ones on either side, and they're all put together as a single group. So they sound unreal.
You know, if you look at this from AirPlay 2 perspective, I don't need to put HomePods throughout my place to have that whole unified audio streaming thing, because I've got an Echo in the living room, in my office, and back in the bedroom. So now I can do my "Hey, A-Lady, play whatever kind of music everywhere" command, but also include Apple Music as part of that. So now I can do full home Apple Music streaming from all the stuff I already have.
See, yeah. I'm a bit of a wanker when it comes to that, because I don't know all of the commands to get it to do all the shiz that it probably could do. And the other problem I've got is I bought an Echo for my parents, which is good for them as an emergency device, and also they can listen to a bit of music with it. And if I say play it everywhere, they're going to get a bit of Prodigy or something like that, or whatever I'm listening to, blaring out of their place. No.
No, and that's because
I don't know the commands.
Group that I call everywhere, and I put specific devices in it, so you could do the same thing and just not include your parents.
So you know, on your Alexa skill, Ewan, you would group the Echo devices that you want in that group. You can call that group whatever you want.
I know about groups because I do it with the smart
same principle
stuff. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, okay. It's the same thing. I just made a group called Everywhere.
So you just say, "Hey, lady, play music on," and then you say the name of the group.
Yep. Uh-huh. But you would have set the group and you would put the devices that you want in that group, and you wouldn't put your parents' device in that group.
Oh, okay. So that's just reaffirmed now that I love Amazon Echo.
Yeah.
Yeah, Echo's pretty cool.
Yeah, based on the back of this, I'll be buying two more this year.
Yeah, I've got the bamboo. I've got a bamboo one in the white room, and I've got a bamboo one in here, and then I've got two fabric ones at home, and I've got and I think I've got one in a cupboard that I forgot that I bought. What a wanker. Sorry. Good story, mate. Good story. I can't see that that's a bad thing for anyone, but if you've got to draw a negative, I would say it's a negative for Apple in terms of hardware, even if not anything else.
But, you know, Apple is excellent at cannibalizing their own sales.
Yeah.
And that's worked out very well for them historically.
Yeah. Good point. Who's next? Who's got the next? Sorry, Jeffrey, straight in there. God, blimey.
Boom.
It's a Tumblr site. Is this safe? No.
No, we're talking porn now.
Oh, mate, Tumblr porn is brilliant.
Well,
just the best.
For just a little while longer, baby.
Oh, what? No, hands off me porn, man.
Well, Verizon is killing off the whole porn industry from Tumblr. And it's their algorithms, because they're already tagging stuff that they're considering porn. Their algorithms are so messed up that it's tagging people that are like fully clothed.
Right.
And it's tagging works of art. You know, like historic, well-known works of art.
So is Verizon clamping down on you watching porn on your phone?
No. Well, they are, but...
Well, yeah, they are.
That's the root of the problem, mate. Not their algorithm. It's the restriction of freedoms of essential viewing nature.
I think it's part of the overreaction type nature we have now. But why do we have this overreaction nature is because everybody's looking to take somebody down, you know, and just these things just keep going back and forth, back and forth. Apparently, there was some child pornography that had gotten through their scanning. And it blew up and went everywhere.
That's right? Not so good. Horrific. No,
of course not.
Yeah, but it's not porn.
Horrible. Yeah.
So it's not all porn.
Yeah. So they're giving them a hard time, you know, of course. But, you know, they're like, we have a database. We search for images that, you know, that match it. Unfortunately, these weren't in our database. So they got through it. You know, that it makes sense. Same thing with virus software. So what do they do to react to this? All of it gone.
Man, I am 52 years old. I've been married for 22 years. Porn is my life.
we're going to have to find you some different sites now.
Oh, thank God Verizon's an American firm. Good grief.
I'm a fan. So, it kind of bugs me. But I personally don't use Tumblr, and I never got going to Tumblr to see, you know, to see that stuff when it's everywhere else. However, it's still annoying that this is the reaction. You know, I get it. You want to make a statement that, you know, you don't tolerate this stuff. We get it.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, it's like, you know, this, yeah. You know, unfortunately, more stuff like this is going to happen, I think, just because this is the state we're in right now. We want to take somebody down. So if you don't do the overwhelming reaction to the easy one-off situations, domestic violence, you know,
you drive it underground as well,
whatever. Yeah. And then, you know, then you leave yourself open to attack.
Yeah. You know, it's prohibition, isn't it? All over again.
Yeah. And there's another problem with this, which is that Tumblr, without anticipating this would happen, became a very valuable resource for people that are marginalized because of their sexuality. And so it became a place where they could go to find support and resources. And it was, in many cases, a legitimate sexual education tool. And there were sex educators that were using this as a platform to distribute legitimate information, and all of that is shut down because that will not be allowed on Tumblr. So that's bad because this resource.
11.4% of Tumblr is adult oriented.
Only 11.4%.
I've never really, genuinely, before you all read me on this, I've never really used or looked at Tumblr. So if this all disappears from Tumblr, what's left? What, as a platform, what's it got left to stand on when you look at Instagram and Twitter and Facebook? And
it's 90% non-adult, so there's a fair bit left, mate. That's pretty fair.
It's not going to be what it was. I think that it's disproportionate, the amount of traffic to.
I was going
to
say let's separate. Yeah. Quantity of pages versus views of pages, and that 0.4% maybe.
But wasn't the porn content not just making it a bit of a one-stop shop? And actually, if you lose part of what you went through the door to look at, what's the point in going there for the rest of it? I need to have a look at Tumblr. I need to look at it more and see actually what else is on there.
I think this is going to bite Tumblr in a very bad way, ultimately. And
why much does Verizon account for the quantity of views, though? Is it big as a mobile provider, or is still other cell providers which are way bigger, like AT&T and so on?
Oh, Verizon's the biggest.
Yeah, Verizon's the biggest, followed by AT&T.
Wow,
with the biggest network as well. But so
it will hit then.
You know, and they have TV now, and they're very powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Cabs has just put into Google normal Tumblr pages.
I'm being careful.
Is that even a thing? I'm doing that. Normal Tumblr pages. I'm just typing it as well.
Official Tumblr page, and that's it. There's nothing else. 10 useful tips for Tumblr beginners. Tumblr is not what you think by TechCrunch.
No, it's exactly what I think.
There is actually, if you discount the Tumblr official page, there are no normal Tumblr pages on the Google Reserve for page one.
How to access NSFW or adult flag content on Tumblr.
Have you got that? Where have you got? What have you used as a search engine? Safari? Because I've used Google, and that's
I'm just using Google, and this is one of the hits that I got.
No, I haven't got that.
Well, here, I'll just share it with everyone.
That's interesting, because it's obviously using my cookies and your cookies completely differently. It's obviously looking at mine and going, "Well, Rankin knows where to get porn, so I need to tell him that."
that's apparently it thinks I need help.
Yeah, Jeff doesn't watch porn. Come on, Google.
I don't know what I'm to
sorry.
Say.
I'm sorry, Jeff. That was a slanderous remark. I take it back. I don't know that you watch porn.
It's, yeah. Well, how about if I don't answer and it keeps mystery in the relationship?
Oh, mate. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
No question. This channel's relationship with porn is unreal. It is, because normally we'd do the sponsor ad now, wouldn't we? And we're not.
We're not going to do it for a while yet.
No, we're not doing it yet. So Chris, unless Chris has brought a porn story, which yeah. I doubt, because he's a clean living man, then we're all good.
how about barbecue porn?
Oh, yeah, Chris is full of barbecue porn.
That's fine,
porn,
is that?
Yeah. Tom's asking if the feed's working. It is working, but it's the video's not working brilliantly. We need to sort out what's happened. It's got slowly worse over the last few weeks. And I'm pretty sure it's not me because my CPU cycles are way down. So it's, here's a kind of a little story yet. My provider is Global Telecom. They've got their brand name WarwickNet, which is Warwick's a local village here or local town. And when I signed up to them, they said, "Oh, it's a 2-year contract. Is that okay?" Yes. I said, "But what happens if I don't, you know, I'm only on a month's notice here?" And he said, no, that's fine. He said, we can follow the service, can go with you. And if we can't provide the service at the address you go to, then we cancel the contract. I'm like, wow, that's really fair terms. I'll go with that. The government have issued small businesses with a free upgrade to fiber. So I'm getting,
wow.
I'm getting fiber. They're going to give me the line free of charge. Automatically, it'll double my speed. So I'll go to 160 gig down, 160 meg down and 80 meg up. And also, they're going to give me an unlimited pipe. So before I was on a 500 gig limit a month, and now I'm just going to go to all you can eat, which is unreal. It's fabulous.
That's awesome.
That's a government grant. So all you complain about the government and technology and that kind of stuff, stuff it, because I'm afraid I've got a free voucher for it. So.
Mm-hmm.
It is good. So I'm getting fiber. And the thing is as well, once you've got that fiber, you can then go, all right, I want a gigabit connection. You've got to pay for it, but...
But the fiber's there.
But the fiber's right there, yeah. All you got to do is just pay for the amount of data that you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, lucky you, because Verizon refuses to bring fiber into my neighborhood.
Oh, what?
Nope.
Why is that, Chris? Is that because there's not enough people, not enough demand for it in your neighborhood, or is there a particular high cost for some reason?
So the only thing I can guess, I think it's a combination of things. A, I think the local cable company has a stranglehold on the politicians in this area. And so they're making it extremely expensive for Verizon to run the lines into the older neighborhoods, because the newer neighborhoods are getting fiber. And my neighborhood's not that old. So it shouldn't be any reason why they couldn't update it or get the lines at least closer and then to the houses. So I think it's part of both sides. I think there's some strangleholding going on, because the only options I have is DSL or cable. That's it. And, until this 5G rolls out, and we'll see what that does.
Oh, that won't give you. That'll give you fast speeds, but you won't get loads of bandwidth out of that.
Yeah. So Yeah. So I've been here 15 years now, and it's just dead. And I remember Verizon was first rolling out their fiber, and they were rolling everywhere, and they just kind of just skipped us and mm-hmm. a lot of the neighborhoods in this area. And then after there was some subsidies announced to get more fiber into like rural areas, then Verizon decided they were done rolling out fiber. So I think they wanted to stop doing it on their dime. They wanted to do it on their government dime. So I think there's a bunch of stuff going on all the way around. So it really sucks. I mean, the cable, I get decent speeds. I get 170 down and 30 up. So it's not the worst thing in the world, but it is frustrating because I really would love fiber.
That's a bit of a disparity on up, though, isn't it, compared to down?
Big time.
Yeah, normally it's about half, so.
But it hasn't affected me. My gaming is tight.
Yeah, you're fine. Your story, Chris, is an interesting one because it's all about subsidy as well, because I've just had a little spiel about how my government is supporting me. You're going to have a bit of a rant about how yours isn't.
Well, I found it discouraging, sad, and whatever else we can come up with. But Larry Kudlow, who is the economic advisor to the White House, has announced that their position is to remove subsidies for electric vehicles. But the crazier part about this is not only for electric vehicles, but pretty much all the subsidies around renewable energy, which I just find amazing that, you know, so many other countries are going in the direction of renewable energy, but we're so corrupt in this government that they're going the opposite direction. So it's really annoying to see about that. So and if people don't realize, if you bought, there was a passed a law to allow subsidies for folks buying electric vehicles. They ranged from $2,500 to $7,500, and then the subsidies would end after the manufacturer reached its first like 200,000 vehicles sold. So Tesla hit that number this past summer. GM is about to hit that number. The other guys, I don't think are close to hitting that number. But, you know, the idea was when you buy a car, you instantly get $7,500 off that car. You know, that makes it easier for folks to purchase the car, and obviously, but, you know, a little bit easier for the manufacturers to sell it. So it was an incentive to create and move into more electric vehicles. And yeah, now we have this. Now they can't do it by themselves. Obviously something would have to be passed, but just the fact that, you know, that, you know, from the top that they're working against moving forward in technology is very discouraging.
Well, hang on. So before the scheme started, there was a limit placed of 200,000 vehicles per group, per provider. Manufacturer.
Yep.
So, and if they've reached that limit, that's why it's stopping. Is that not just achieving the, I mean, this has been politicized as anti-Trump. And I'm not great. I don't like the bloke at all, but.
Yeah, no. But again, only like Tesla has hit that number, right? You still have Ford, Toyota. There's a lot of manufacturers. Right. So if you're another manufacturer and you're like, do I want to get into this? And then you're like, that becomes a barrier to entry because you're like, well, you know, are people going to buy it because they lose it? So yeah, while there are two manufacturers that hit it, that's the only two.
But subsidies about an incentivized process to get people into the ecosphere. It's not to sustain it for eternity.
You're correct. You know, yeah. But this is still in its infancy, right? So you still want to get people into it, and you still want to then create that incentive for these manufacturers to work in that direction as well. And not to mention, the dude did say that, you know, as a punishment for GM, he wanted to end the subsidies. So you know, for them.
When I'm looking at this, it's saying that I don't know when it's going to end, 2020, 2021. So I'm assuming what it's saying there is that we expect within the next 2 to 3 years that the other manufacturers will hit their 200,000 cap. The thing that surprises me is, so how many would we say manufacturers are producing EVs in the US? Did you say four or five there, Chris?
Oh, there's quite a bit. Yeah, Cadillac is working on one now. We know Toyota has one. We know
so at best, you're probably talking a couple of million vehicles. How many vehicles are on on U.S. roads?
I don't know.
Because 200,000 per manufacturer still sounds really small fry.
This is the first iteration of this. You do have the other side of the political spectrum that wants to extend this and make it even further to continue, to ramp this up even further. So this is just the initial part of it. So yeah, I would agree based on the amount of vehicles probably on the road in the U.S. It's not a huge number, but again, why even kill it if it's such a small number unless there's an ulterior motive, which I believe this is propping up, the fossil
fuel. When was this scheme started? Was it started under Obama?
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
So that 200,000 limit is an Obama limit.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I'm struggling to play devil's advocate here and also sound like I'm really supporting Trump, which I don't support the man at all. But
no, I mean,
but I want him to pay for what's his folly, and it doesn't sound like this is his folly.
Yeah, I think for me, and the way I'm reading this is that caps originally set in, and you've either got a government who's saying we want to either protect something and therefore we're sticking to the original caps, we're not revisiting it, we're not looking to extend it, it'll be done and dusted with in terms of the cap that was there, we have no appetite to move beyond that, job's done. Or you've got a government that would say, we think from an environmental point of view that moving to EVs is the right thing. And actually what we're going to do is either extend it or not close it or increase the cap or something along those lines. And I can see the anti-Trump spin on it. But I think, I mean... I suppose the article doesn't.
But I'm thinking really... of, you look at solar panel subsidies in the UK, those have ended now. Yep. There was a lot of those and it was a big business and everybody sold it for a long period of time and now there aren't any subsidies for solar panels.
Yeah, they killed it. They killed that here as well. But let's be clear about what you're saying, right? So there's three aspects, right? They have the initial offering, which was the 200,000. Then you have the, should we continue it or kill it off. Now, if it'd be one thing if it was the same group of people that are like, okay, let's reevaluate this. That's not what's happening here, right? You have somebody who's against it who wants to kill it off. There's no evaluation.
No, I think Trump's environmental policy is utter shit. There's no question.
Right. That's what he's based. If this came out and it was an evaluation and we're looking at this and this, that, and the other, and they came up with some stats and some figures and all that stuff, it'd be more tolerable. But the fact that where this is coming from, and again, just last week, he tweeted about ending the subsidies to punish a U.S. company. Right. And then not even a week later, Kudlow, the finance director or whatever, actually then comes on top of it and said they're actually working towards doing this. This is not this is not an ambiguous thing. You know what I mean? This is pretty direct assault on renewable energy. And it's not just for vehicles. Let's be clear about that as well. It's for other technologies as well. And then they said also other subsidies. So who knows where that goes down to, but I look at this, and the reason why I'm so annoyed by this, because I want one, I want an electric vehicle. And one of the things that I was looking at, is the fact that there was a subsidy towards purchasing it, so now it's like,
well, you should have bought one, shouldn't you?
Well, I guess I should have. Right. But kids, life, mortgage. So it's a very frustrating thing that, again, I don't know if they will get it done, especially with the new house coming in this January. However, it really bugs me because I don't see this as a you know what? This is better for the country. I see this as this is better for the petroleum industry.
It's kind of ironic, I think, that the world is at a critical point, isn't it, in terms of temperature. And, you know, there are things saying, look, we are already looking at running at 3 degrees higher in the next 5 years. Our best estimates say that we can maybe make it 2, maybe make it 1.5, with extreme measures immediately. And yet, actually, in the UK and the US and probably even China is probably doing a bit more than that, than all the rest of the world is. You know,
India. I mean, there's a lot. You know.
There is that we are at the tipping point of the Earth's viability, and we have the worst possible governments in place to deal with that. And ours is no better.
Yeah. But anyway, I just thought it was an interesting topic that just came out, I think, yesterday.
Well, we had David Attenborough, didn't we, going, we were all going to die at that conference this week. It's like, yep.
Yeah, and kids growing up today, they will never know what normal weather patterns are.
Well, I'm not sure I did, because the last time it snowed on Christmas Eve was 1974, before it then snowed like Billy-O last year, but it still never snowed at Christmas, so it's...
Oh, well... But I was lucky in that that as a kid, I got to see bird migrations, spring and fall, and the monarch butterfly migrations through Colorado, stuff like that. And that's all gone now.
Isn't monarch butterfly still going on?
Typically, if we see any monarch butterflies in Colorado, it's actually something that becomes a news article.
Well, hang on, I'm sorry. Doesn't the monarch butterfly thing take months and months and months and goes through several generations of monarch?
Right, but what used to happen was we'd have just orange everywhere because we'd have...
Right, okay. So it's definitely
coming
changed.
Through the area. Yeah, yeah. And we don't see that anymore. It still happens, but... It's just not something that happens here.
But they've stopped migrating.
Migrating completely?
They're dying off. Which one?
See, that's really sad.
No, is it that they've stopped migrating or that they're all dying?
I don't know.
Right, okay. I don't know.
But no normal weather.
Fair enough. All we want was normal weather. Normal.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, isn't it? You're looking for patterns in an ecosystem where we've only actually been measuring it for about 200 years properly, and the thing's been around for 4 billion years. What pattern? What cycles? Etc. It is tough. It is tough to understand absolutely, but I think everyone's agreed. There's no more scientific skeptics, is there? That's the key.
Yeah.
My cool thing, or my story rather, is a thing that I saw on the Victoria Derbyshire thing, but there's a video that you can go and watch on YouTube called Meet the Biohackers, and it's a BBC article about people that are hacking their own body with technology to make it do all sorts of kind of stuff. So there's a guy there who's got like a little tiny grain of rice in his hand sized thing. And if anyone comes up to him and holds their phone next to it, the RFID chip in the phone automatically picks it up and puts an address on it where to go in Google Maps and opens Google Maps for you. Another woman had one put in and it was the key to her door. So she could open the door to her property with her hand. And it's the key you'll never lose. And it's all RFID and other bio-based technologies that people are putting into themselves. I just thought it was an interesting discussion piece. Just go for the door lock one. Hands up, who wants something inserted underneath their skin that will open their door for them?
No.
Why not? Because I do.
Because the first time that I have, say, an accident and I break my arm and now my hand's in a cast... And now I can't unlock my door because the RFID chip is blocked.
I'm sure there might be a keypad backup though, Jeff.
Yeah, but...
or something, but...
I'm sure there will be a key backup and probably a physical key backup as well. But I don't know. I could change my mind at any time. I'm fickle like that. But right now, I have no interest in doing any sort of subdermal technology for RFID. It just doesn't appeal to me.
I think for me, there's a scenario of somebody scanning the chip. And, you know, you hear about RFID. RFID wallets are there to protect the contents of the wallet so you can't be card scanned and things like that. How easy would it be for somebody to scan your hand, essentially take a clone, and then use it? Because, yes, it could be your front door lock in one respect. Equally, you can see that happening on ATMs where you just put your hand on the ATM and it essentially authenticates you, and so many other things. I don't know. Maybe a personal thing. I just don't see it right now for me. Yeah. I can see the benefits.
Now we have a market for RFID gloves. Faraday gloves. Kickstarter.
Yeah, for me, it's not my thing as well. It's simply because I don't want anything physically in my body that I don't know 100% or trust 100%. You know, like when I go to my gym, they have this new service where you can come in, they'll do like a 3D body scan, and then, you can kind of, rescan yourself throughout, and you can see exactly where the fat loss occurred, whether it be your arm and your legs or whatever. And I'm like, oh, it's interesting. What do you guys do with the data and who has access to it? I don't know. And I was like, well, if you don't know, I'm not interested in that at all. So same thing.
Well, and what technology are they using for the scan?
I don't know. I didn't even go in the room. You usually go into this, one of the offices, and they have some kind of scanner there that you stand on. I never really looked that far into it because they had no idea who was granted access to the information. And as far as I'm concerned with the RFID, now you're putting something in my body that I don't even, know what else it can do. I should trust that it only does what it says it does, but I don't. So that's just me. However, I'm not against it either, though. So I'm not hating on anybody that doesn't have a problem with it. I'll be honest. When I installed the August lock that I use on my front door, one of the features of it is geolocation. So when I pull up to my house and I park my vehicle, it does automatically unlock the front door for me. And I didn't think that was a big deal until, the first time I did it and I had groceries in my hand. And, like everybody else, I grab about 10 bags just to make sure, I don't have to make a lot of trips. And easy peasy, just hit the door and the door opened. You know what I mean? I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to pull out a key. So I get the convenience of it. That's why I'm not against it. But I like the idea of it being tied to my phone as opposed to tied to me.
Fair enough.
I'm with you. Yep.
So I go to a lot of networking groups now. I started doing networking this year because, I've kind of coasted, if you like, business-wise. And I just got this thing in my head. I needed to do more to promote Sentry, which was a new camera system that Andy Vaughan and I have invented. So I got myself out in the networking sphere to promote that system. And the number of people I go up to and they're like, oh, you've got a business card? Yeah, sure. And I've got some really beautiful, thick business cards made that the printer taught me into. And they're gorgeous. They're absolutely stunning. And I give it over. But it's every time, I can't stop myself sitting thinking, I've only got 1,000 of these. And after they're gone, that's 270 quid down the drain or whatever. They're 20 quid, 20 pence a piece. And it's just like, why can't I just have a chip in my hand? And if someone says, you got a business card? Yeah, give me a phone. Pling, there you go. I mean, you contact straight away.
You can't even. All you would need to get is a QR code created, which you can just have set up as a photo.
Which I could have tattooed on my hand. Thanks, man.
All you need is a QR code created for you with your details on. Somebody comes along, whips the camera up, and QR code scan done.
Yeah,
but there's that awkward, so I used to love using the QR code as well to especially when I used to do a lot of shows and a lot more on-site visits. But man, when it's surprising how many people still do not know how to read a QR code with their device.
Yeah,
I think it's been made easier now, hasn't it, though, Chris? Because the camera on the iPhone and on most of the Android devices, you just whip it over, it open, it recognizes the QR code. You don't even have to have a QR scanner anymore.
It's not hard, but it's that awkward moment when you're like, hey, why don't you just scan this? It has all my personal information, and then they just give you these eyes like, I don't know what to do, and you're like, let me see your phone. You know what I mean? It's just that moment. Like, I'm actually showing you technology, and then, you know, you walk away, and this guy, you know, is he like douche? You know what I mean? Does he get mad at you now because you showed him how to do something on his phone that he's been using for 2 years and had no idea this feature existed? I don't know. I could expound on this.
A lot of times I think people are just confused and they don't know what you did. and then the next time someone says, hey, scan my QR code, it's the same thing all over again.
I love QR codes. I've been talking, you know, I love what they do. I love the simplicity of it. I wish they had made a payment system kind of based on the QR code, you know, just because I think it's that easy. But it's just that one, those little moment that I've experienced, I'm like, I don't. And I love a really good, uncomfortable moment. But those, I don't know, that one, it's weird.
The uncomfortable moments that Chris has endured.
Oh, let me tell you, I've created quite a few to the point where I have to tell my wife, do not apologize for me and do not explain. Let it sit. I went to...
it is what it is.
I went to an
art
center.
This is part of what makes you so awesome.
Yeah.
I wanted to get a frame made, and I looked at the guy, and this dude had the bluest eyes I have ever seen on a human being. I said, damn, dude, your eyes are super blue. Man, that is really attractive. And the guy just stared at me. He's like, oh, my God, this big monster is looking at me and probably wants to hit on me. And it wasn't even that. I was just commenting on his eyes. And then I saw he was uncomfortable. So I just said, let me breathe that one in. He was just stunned. He didn't know what to do. My wife's like, he's just joking. I just looked at her like, hey, you let it lay right there. Don't do that. My moment. I was enjoying it.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
I don't think there's an issue with that. I just find I think someone needs to, because that is a gimmick, isn't it? Like, here's my business card is an absolute gimmick, but doing something where it's really functional and useful, I can see that there is a time coming. I'm not, do you remember Johnny Mnemonic, Keanu Reeves film? What a great film that was. I loved that film.
Love that movie.
Me and my wife both, that's one of our favorite films. And it's a shit film when you look back now.
Oh, yeah.
But the guy
with
the thumb thing, when he whizzed it out and cuts the bloke in half, and then the bloke just goes and slides off. And there's so much cool stuff. And then he was hacking his own brain at the end and that kind of stuff. It's just like there is a time coming where information will be placed in a body and it will be recovered by someone. And even, what was the name of the bloody film with Matt Damon? Elysium. You know, that kind of process is still that's closer than you think. Not the starship thing, the brain, you know, the information in the brain.
You can't help but also be apprehensive to that fate as well, right? Because there's always the downside in those movies. You know, who can afford it? You can't afford it. Yeah. Guess what? You're living on the dirt rock while they're all living in, you know, chilling with grass and water and all that stuff. You know what I mean? And that's just from the class part of it. Not even just to say, you know, again, the other downsides, you know, did they get hacked? All of a sudden, are you doing things you can't control? Or are you being put in places that you were not? You know, so there are downsides. So, you know, not necessarily want to be used as a reason to slow technology. But I don't have a problem with, you know, to be clear. It's just, again, you know, the same movies that make those things cool also make those things scary.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That is a fair point. This podcast and all the others that are on the network are made possible by TSO Host. They pick up all our bandwidth charges. They give us the servers that hosts everything that we actually have. and we are lost without them. There is an offer code for you, which is BTN20. That'll get you 20% off all your hosting services with TSO Host, and you can't be beaten. What they need from us is brand recognition, nothing more. They're not asking you to buy all your service from them, although that would be fabulous if you possibly can, thank you. They want you to send out social media messages that says, thanks to @TSO Host for supporting @British Tech. That is it. Please, 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 if you like having this this podcast around, then please send out a tweet that tells TSO Host that you value their current sponsorship with us, because without them, we go away, plain and simple, and we can't. I don't want to do that yet. I've not had enough of podcasting. I really enjoy meeting my mates on a Wednesday and Friday, or a Friday, or a Thursday and Friday, or a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, whichever the day of the bloody week it is. God, Bennett. And thanks also to Telestream, because they give us this fantastic piece of software, Wirecast, that helps me run the shows. And now I've got my little Stream Deck device here that's got all my custom icons on for switching. And now I've worked out how to use it properly. Oh, man. I am in love with all the stuff that I can do in Wirecast. It is superb. And I haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg yet. I've still got loads more to learn. So again, thank @Telestream for supporting British Tech as well as. And thanks to Hoya. I've got my glasses on. These are my beautiful glasses. I went to a meeting last week with a guy, and he said, oh, hi, I'm Ritesh. And I said, hi, I'm you. And he said, I love your glasses. I need a pair. That was the first thing he said to me. And I get so many people come up to me and say, I love your glasses. So I tell them what they are and where to get them, and then I send their name to Mark, and I wish to see if they had a RFID chip. I could just scan it and send it to Mark and be done. But no. So there you go. These are my glasses. These are Uniqus. They are worth every penny. I paid for me. These are me normal ones, so I've paid for those. They're not free. These ones for the show are sponsored, but these ones aren't. And I've got to say, I still love them. They're the best pair of glasses I've ever owned. They just fit my face beautifully. And Campion is Musha Campion is also modelling a set of Uniqus for us.
Love these. Same thing. They're a talking point.
They're beautiful. Mm-hmm. Great set of glasses. And they look like your old style as well. Did they just happen to have the style, or was it?
Yeah, no, it was a very similar style. I just like this shape. I just sort of thought suits my face. And so I tried a few others on. But just liked this, and the fact that I could get them in blue, a dark blue rather than black, which I've always had before, I quite liked. And the, like we talked in previous shows, they're just super, super light. Really, really are nice.
They are beautiful. Are those the Ord greens?
Yes, they are, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, they are greens. I think it's the number threes, these ones.
Yeah, all greens got some really beautiful designs in. Definitely. Mm. These are all greens as well. That was a big coup for them when they launched that they all green were coming on board, because they're a big designer brand. Excellent. Have we got any cool things, fellas?
Shall I go first?
Yeah, pleasure. Go for it.
So mine is not by any means a new thing, but it's a new thing to me, and it's Audible. I never got into Audible until 3 months ago. I bloody love it. I always was a paper book reader. I had a Kindle, didn't use it. I liked paper books. Aside it from a running point of view, I'd listened to loads of podcasts, needed something, thought, right, I'm an Amazon subscriber. They constantly send me emails saying, look, you can have a three-month free trial or a free trial, whatever it was. But I'm going to give it a go. I love it now. I think I'm probably maybe 6 months in total now, something like that. Can't wait till the first of each month to get the credit added as part of the subscription. I love it. So if anybody's out there and they've been toying with Audible, you know, should I, shouldn't I, jump in, get a free trial, give it a go, and I'm fairly confident you'll stick with it. Some great titles on there.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I was an Audible subscriber for a very long time. I bought a lot of books through there. And then Amazon took them on, and it just kind of stopped, and I stopped paying the money as well. But I don't know what's happened to all my books. I think I can still listen to them.
Yeah, you can. Still a lot of it there in your library.
Yeah, I know.
Bob's just saying in the chat room that he's never fancied audiobooks, and I was exactly the same, Bob, but I gave it a go. And it depends if you drive, another great reason to shove a book on rather than just listening to music or anything like that. But
yeah, you got to be careful the book that you get, because if you get because I've had books that were, you know, real page turners in inverted commas, and I've ended up turning up late at places because I stopped to listen to the book for a bit longer. And I've had other ones that damn near made me off the road because they were so boring. I fell asleep listening to them. So you've got to pick your it's horses for courses, definitely.
Yeah.
But as a dyslexic, audiobooks are invaluable to me. Absolutely invaluable. And we've got an offer code for Audible. I'm just kidding. We haven't got an offer code for Audible. We're the only podcast in the world that doesn't have an offer for Audible and never has.
That's actually probably true.
Yeah, that probably is true. Everyone's done Audible. That's why I'm gobsmacked that Camp said that he'd never done it. Excellent pick, mate. Thank you very much. Jeffrey, what do you have for us, mate?
I have an iPad app. Linea from Icon Factory. They just released version 2.5. And they added in these new blending tools. And you can now do versions for your drawings, and they also added in support for the new Apple Pencil for the taps, so you can switch tools just by tapping your Apple Pencil, and it's fantastic. And the big thing for me sitting here saying, oh my God, Linea, this is so great, and this update is fantastic. I have been a hardcore Paper by 53 fan for years, and I dumped the app. They changed their
Paper 53.
Their,
awesome.
Yeah, well, yeah. 53 got bought, and the new company, what they did was they took away features and said, now you have to pay a subscription for the stuff you already bought.
No.
And I was like, you know what? I am out.
And they deserve to fall on their ass for that.
Subscription model at all. And yeah, and I'm paying for lots of subscription apps right now. But when they did that, it's like, nope, I'm done. So I've been on the hunt for my replacement drawing app, and I've settled on Linea.
Excellent, mate.
And this update it's really nice.
Price? Is it in app purchase?
I don't remember. It's not that expensive.
I can't see.
And
$4.99. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. And then what I did after they did the update, they have a tip jar that shows up in the app, and I'm like, yeah, I'll tip jar the crap out of that. So I just sent them more money just because.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Like that. I love my drawing apps, but I just don't use them very much. Chris, what do you have for us, mate?
Which Chris?
The Chris that's left over with the cool thing.
So my pick is
You gym bunny.
Well, you know, over time you figure out different things, you learn different aspects of what you want to, and you come up with new goals. And right now I had just switched up my training routine for the next 12 weeks. I'm going to see how strong I can get. So, and one of the most popular ways to train for powerlifting and stronger lifts is what they call a 5-3-1 method. And essentially all it is basing your workouts on your one rep max. Then you do a percentage of that one rep max over the next couple of weeks, increasing five or 10 pounds, depending on the upper body or lower body. So because this workout plan is really, really structured, and it's over like 4 week cycles, I needed to better track what I was doing. You know, typically like most people, I just remembered what I did last week for the most part, and then just tried to increase it when I could hit that weight, you know, a certain amount of times. And that worked fine. But now that I really want to, you know, set a goal and try to get, you know, get my bench press up and get my deadlifts and squats up, Yeah, I need to track it better. So this app allows you to go in, create different routines, which I like, because, you know, my routines on each day is different. It does have instructions on how to perform the different lifts. Has quite an extensive database of the different lifts. And then once you add it, there's instructions to kind of help you make sure you're performing those lifts correctly. And then it's real easy to add, you know, your stats for those particular lifts. So if you did a bench press and you did 5 sets with, you know, 250 pounds, you could just put that in there easily for each set, and it keeps track of it and times it and everything. So, you know, I've did this, and I also did something in OneNote just to kind of share out with a friend of mine. But, you know, this is pretty interesting and a pretty cool way to track for folks looking for a way to track their workouts. This is really good, strong, and it's free. They have in-app purchases and upgrades and all that stuff if you want, but I think the free version is enough for just doing some basic tracking.
Excellent, mate. It's a good pick. I like that. I'm not going in the gym yet, I have to say. I've started doing a bit of light running, so
get in the gym, man. I can't stress it enough.
Yeah, it does go down faster apparently if we go in the gym. So at the moment I'm looking at April to finish off, and then apparently I could make it to February or January if I went to the gym a bit. But I did my years in the gym. Incentives not there.
You don't have to go and lift the gym. Just go in and do some basic strength training. You burn more.
I used to quite like boxing with the bag and moving with the bag and skipping around the bag and not actually necessarily hitting it. Or just tapping the bag, you know, to make it look like I'm going through the motions of punching. I might do that again.
That's great cardio.
Well, I've got a bag at home in the loft that just sits there. So if I could get down here and get a hook up in the office to swing it off, I've got enough open space here. I could use it. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I actually converted my basement into a gym. That's I took it to the next level. So
yeah, I've got a basement. Wife would kill me if I made one as well. Mostly because our house hasn't got a space underneath it. So
you let me know. I'll send you some links to kind of
totally underpinning the house, pull the house down round our ears, and the wife doesn't stay with me anymore. My cool thing is Canva. I don't know if you've seen it. So basically, if you want resources for your social media to post out some things to put on top of the fronts of it and that kind of stuff, or just a few stock images that are free licenses to use, then Canva is absolutely brilliant. I've posted a few things for another organization that I've been helping the last few weeks, and that has got a ton of resources if you sign up for it. It's well worth having. Canva, Canva. It's free, and then you just pay for stuff depending on what it is that you have off there. But it's a good stock site, most definitely. It's just an app put in Canva. It's available in Android as well as iOS, so enjoy it. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Campion?
You can get me at Campion UK on Twitter. You can get me in the Slack room, and on Instagram, I am just Run Chris. It's where I show my running. So I keep that to Instagram, so I don't bore everybody. But you can get that on there.
Excellent, mate. Cool. I follow you. It's good. Jeffrey, where would you be? You're still downloading porn, mate.
Oh, I am.
Or Verizon have found you.
Either way, it's. I clearly need more bandwidth. You can find me over at textexpander.com and smilesoftware.com, and on Twitter and Instagram, I'm Jay Gamut.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. And last but by no means least, Chris Ashley.
You can always catch me over at the SMR podcast. We record every week another tech show. But we just tend to branch out into way other topics. So me and two homies run the show. You can also catch me on Twitter at Big Chris Ashley.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. My name is Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech as well. And we'll be back again next week, Wednesday night, for the big show. And then the following week is Wednesday for the Mac show and the big show. And it's the Christmas shows, Christmas quiz and all that kind of stuff. So I'll be sitting compiling that in the next couple of weeks. We'll be back Wednesday next week. Wednesday. honest. So there's only two of us at the minute, though, so or three of us, so we'll have to have a shovel around and see who wants to come talking to us. See you next week. Thanks for listening.